The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Aftermath is actually my favorite Star Wars.
I love Aftermath. If you're willing to get through some of like the most like in-depth detailed descriptions of certain things, like it's just that, and that's what I love knowing all the like ins and outs. Like there's one scene where they go and they steal the TIE fighters and they just like go through and talk about the TIE fighter maneuverability and how it can like stop in midair and turn and shoot left and right and stuff. I was like, that's so cool. I didn't know that about TIE fighters, and now I know more.
So whenever I'm not a huge book guy. I'm not a huge book guy, but that is my favorite one. It's so funny because like I've interviewed all the authors and stuff, so I've had to like skim through books just before I get on the show. So it's just like I'm just not a novel guy.
We had Mark Thompson on, and he's done a lot of the Star Wars books, and so like that was really cool. And I've told him before, I was like, you're the only reason why I enjoy Star Wars books, just because like for me, like 100%. I grew up listening to Jim Dale with Harry Potter.
So for me,
just like an audiobook is like a theatrical experience. It's like a movie in your head. And so like that's how I enjoy my books, is being read to me so that I have the time to paint the picture in my head and not like read the pages. So like that's why I love the Star Wars books and like Aftermath. Like the only reason like I enjoyed it is because of all the characters and like how he just went about doing that performance.
That's why I like the Tempest Runner, because it was fully voice acted. There was no descriptions or anything. It was literally just a play played out on the on audio. So it was really nice.
Yeah, like the Dooku book is cool that way too. Yeah.
Oh man, the old, you're talking about the old Dooku book, like from 20-something teen.
It's been the one by Kevin Scott, the audio play that they did.
With, yes. Okay. Good. Yep. Yeah. That one is very good. I read that one was years ago. I also read Ronin. And Tim didn't read Ronin,
they sent me an advanced copy of that, and I was itching to talk about it because I thought it was very cool. It's like you just separate yourself from your usual Star Wars mind and just enjoy the book, and that one was good.
It was just fun. That was what it was, like a departure from what we know, and I think that was the fun part. It was just like, here's this new fun adventure of familiar things that aren't so familiar.
Yep, it was a no-pressure novel. There wasn't a lot riding on it. It was just cool.
That's the exact same feeling. So cool. But Pete, welcome to the show. Pete from Around the Galaxy. Thanks.
That was your intro?
Yeah, episode 83 of Star Wars and Scotch. We were having a good conversation.
It was such a good conversation. That was fantastic. Yeah. That was good.
Yes, I wanted to capture that moment. But welcome, Pete, to the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
If you didn't know, I hate cold opens. I hate them so much.
I don't do it every week. I just change it up every so often, so it throws them off. We were telling Pete before the show that like I'm the Gray Jedi and Tim's the Sith, and we're just constantly at odds. And that's probably why people listen, to be honest, Tim.
Just looking for the balance.
Yes, we we are the balance.
It's in there somewhere.
Pete, your podcast was actually when I started diving into Star Wars content creators, yours was one of the first ones that I found that actually stuck that I was listening to.
Oh, so wow. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the better shows out there. If you don't know just right off the bat what I'm talking about, it's Around the Galaxy, and it's a network. It's not just the show. There's so much more that you do, and we'll learn about that today. But yeah, I just wanted to say that right off the bat. Like, you were one of the first content creators outside of like Star Wars Explained that I started following and paying attention to. So it was really
that's
awesome.
Amazing. You were like, that means a lot. Hey. Thank you so much. That's really cool to hear. Thanks.
And the only reason I can't join Friday nights is because Friday nights is like you said, the family time. We order right. And we watch a movie. I got little kids, so or else I'd hang out.
We'll Friday get night. You sometime. We'll go late some night so you put the kids to bed and join us. We'll
I like it. I'm into that. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be on my phone while my headphones when my wife is watching Real Housewives or something. But yeah, thank you so much for joining the show. We'll get the house cleaning out of the way right off the bat. Folks, tomorrow. Oh, well, no.
Tomorrow.
When they hear this,
it'll be the 18th. So it's 2 days from tomorrow.
It's
Friday. It's easier if we just say Friday. This Friday, ladies and gentlemen, the Darkness Blend Nitro Cold Brew is hitting kingscoastcoffee.com. So if you have been enjoying our cold brew line so far, well, get ready. This one's going to blow your pants off. We've been waiting a long time to release the Darkness Blend in cold brew form, and here you go. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com, bookmark it, get ready. 12 p.m. Eastern, kingscoastcoffee.com, Friday. That's May 20th. Head on over there. Get ready.
Friday.
So make sure to, it's going to go fast. It's going to go really, really quick. Yeah. So if you don't get it, sorry.
They yielded last time. I think they yielded around 804 packs. And I believe 600 and change were gone before end of business that day. So definitely want to jump on this because I have a feeling Tim's will move a lot quicker than the last one.
Yeah, we were talking about this on stream today, and they were hungry. They wanted.
Look, you already drank one. So there you go. One.
I'm a raging coffee-holic.
Yeah, it's good. And GCX tickets are on sale, gcxevent.com. Like we said, Star Wars and Scotch will be live from GCX on the side stage this year. We got Sawyerism from TikTok, me and Tim, Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained, and Mark Thompson joining us for the panel. Lots of content creators from the gaming space, artists, D&D, tabletop games, you name it, we'll be there. And you can go to gcxevent.com/tickets right now, and you can go to gcxevent.com/hotel to book your room, because we found out today that our block sold out and they generously added another 100 rooms or something to it. Ready. So get them while they hot. So yeah, gcxevent.com. We are 9 days away from Obi-Wan, 8 days away from Celebration. Pete, you're going to Celebration, right?
I am. It'll be actually my very first Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I'm a Celebration virgin, and I honestly could not be more excited. But I don't interrupt your flow there, but I'm actually, so what's cool about it for me, there's 100 things that are cool, 1,000 things that are cool about it for me. But the very short version of the long story is I bought the tickets before a pandemic, like a lot of us did. Mm-hmm. And I was going to bring my wife, my daughter, my son, my 9-year-old and 12-year-old, 9-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter, and me, we were going to go. And a couple months later, my wife was like, you know what? I'm not going to lie. A weekend of Star Wars stuff is not something I'm into, so I'm going to stay home. I was like, all right, cool. No problem. I'll bring my daughter. I'll bring my son. And then 2 years of pandemic comes and goes. My daughter's 12, and she's like, Dad, I'm not going to lie. I don't want to spend the weekend doing Star Wars stuff. So it's me and my 9-year-old son and my 75-year-old dad. I called my dad. I'm like, look, all you have to do is get a plane ticket.
So
and I'm going to take you to Celebration. So it's going to be 3 generations of Fletzers hanging out, doing the Star Wars Celebration. So it's going to be so much. We're going to do Disneyland for a day. I'm going to miss the Light and Magic panel, but I think it's worth it to be over it. Disneyland with the family. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
That is so cool.
And is your dad a fan?
My dad is the reason I got into writing. Yeah, so my dad, like, I remember he sat me down in front of Godzilla movies when I was like 6-7 years old, and so he got me into all the genre stuff. And so yeah, I couldn't be more excited. He's gonna, you know, he's not a sweaty nerd like us, but he's definitely, you know, he's a good barometer too. Like when Ahsoka first showed up, for example, on Mando, I called him. I was like, did you catch that? He's like, nope, she was cool. And I was like, you have no idea how cool she is. Let's talk about it. So yeah,
she's the coolest. No, that's incredible. Yeah. Fun story for you real quick. The audience has heard it, but I'm going to tell you just to get your reaction. So when, 11 years ago, I decided Memorial Day weekend would be a great weekend to get married. not realizing how expensive it would be to go away for your anniversary every year thereafter. So my 11-year anniversary is the 28th or 27th. Mm-hmm. Shit, I should figure that out.
Oh my God.
The problem is my mom's wedding anniversary is the other day, and mine is the.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's not helping you either, Kevin.
I don't at all.
Actually, she's divorced, so that makes it even worse. So we had this whole plan. Tim was like, "Kevin, you're gonna go. It's gonna be so exciting. You know, your first time, because he's been to a few, and I haven't been to any."
I've been to like three celebrations in my time. Awesome.
So then I was like, "Tim, it's my anniversary. I have to bring my wife. She wants to go to California. You know, I'll probably do like 2 days of celebration, and then you know, maybe I'll go to Palm Springs or something just to, you know, treat her and stuff." And Tim was like, "Well, you know, I'll bring my wife too." I was like, "Great, this is awesome. Okay, so both our wives are gonna come." And then Tim and I, we pushed it a little bit too far because we were like, "Yo, we should totally go to Disney and check out Avengers Campus." And then my
wife's
like,
"Okay, yeah, we did push it a little too far."
She's like, "Your nerd convention is 2 weeks after we go to Celebration for our anniversary. And then you want now to take another day and go to Avengers Campus so you can see it." And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I'm not feeling this anymore, Kev." So I am going to the beach that weekend and we'll be making content remotely on my phone.
So see, that's the thing. You got to bring, that's why you bring your 75. Here's the hidden plus of bringing my 75-year-old father. We're on the East Coast. So by the time it hits 6 o'clock West Coast time, my 9-year-old and my 75-year-old are going to be exhausted. So I'm going to send them back to the hotel room. And I'm going to find you guys and anybody else. And we're going to sit. We're going to drink. We're going to talk Star Wars. We're going to have fun at all the after parties and stuff like that. So it's a built-in babysitter, but it's also, you know, cool memories and all that stuff. But yeah,
that's fantastic. Love it.
Yeah. Well, next year I hope to be there as long as they can keep it away from Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, next year we're meeting all these folks in the Star Wars community. So we're really going to try and push for our event GCX to have a larger Star Wars presence. Tim and I have actually been pushing our last live event was 2019 and then we're back this year and we're really trying to push for that presence because there's so much overlap. Yeah. If it was a Venn diagram with our communities from, you know, Destiny and Division and all these games, that started our event, that Star Wars is just a staple of that and inspiration. So we're really trying to like bring communities together and just have fun and be nerds and be happy. So hopefully we see you at GCX and Celebration in 2023. We'll see what happens. Yeah, no, we'd love to have you out. Maybe we'll have you on the panel. We'll see what happens. But cool. We're excited for all the cool Star Wars stuff coming down the pipeline. I would love to learn more about you, though, Pete. One thing I ask all of our guests is, how did you get started in all this? You mentioned your dad and the writing and Godzilla, and that is definitely a pathway to Star Wars. But I'd love to hear like a more in-depth description of like what brought you here. How did you end up, you know, at Around the Galaxy, and what's like your earliest memories of Star Wars and whatnot?
Yeah, so you know, I saw Star Wars in 1977 in the theaters before it was A New Hope, right? So that's sort of my little bragging rights. It's also like kind of that means that I'm like 51 years old, so I've been around a while. But I remember my first memories of Star Wars are actually my grandmother got me a T-shirt for my birthday, which was in July, and it had a picture of C-3PO on it. And that's all I knew about Star Wars. I had C-3PO and the word Star Wars. And in my head, Star Wars was the 3PO was a bad guy. I have no idea why. Like, that's what I believed. And then I don't remember seeing the movie so much as I remember my dad took us. And I remember sitting in the back of the station wagon back in the way far back and just, you know, rolling around because it was before safety was invented. And and I was pretending that every car that passed us was a TIE fighter and I was shooting him down. So, but since then, Star Wars stayed with me forever, like even during, you know, the dark times in the mid 90s where there was not much happening. But that was actually when my next big steps kind of happened, was because I was working for a small company. We sold barcode readers and that sort of thing, right? And there was this internet thing which was starting to happen, and so I decided that I was going to create a website, and I think it's on GeoCities or something like that, and it was a Star Wars fan site, and as far as I know it may have been the very first Star Wars website, Star Wars fan website. And so I was doing that. My dad, who I mentioned had gotten me into stuff, him and a bunch of his friends had created a trivia board game. Now talk about bad timing, right? It's the 90s, the internet's coming, so they create a board game. So kind of missed the boat by just a little bit. Now, if they had stuck around with the resurgence of board games, it would have been a different deal. But in that trivia game, it was called the Amazing Science Fiction and Horror Trivia Game. So they had every category, Star Trek, you know, Universal movies, anything in the genres, right? Oh, it's all your stuff, right? Everything you guys are into as well. And my dad said, I need Star Wars questions. I need 200 Star Wars questions. Can you write them? So I did. So I wrote 200 Star Wars questions based on three movies because we didn't do books and it was before anything next came. And part of their marketing campaign, I'm giving you a much longer story than you asked for probably, but
keep going. I love this. This is so good.
So interesting. Part of their marketing campaign was a written newsletter that they mailed out, right? So I started writing columns for that were about Star Wars. And again, in the 90s, not much to talk about. So I did one about like Star Wars versus Star Trek. And my nephew at the time, he was just getting it. So just little goofy things. And I'm putting them on my website. And so this website is actually, you know, I don't know how many people visited, although I did have a counter at the bottom because it was the 90s, right? That counter and a flaming GIF and all kinds of stuff.
Sparkles.
But I was contacted by so many fans, because at that time it was just before the special editions were coming out. It was 94 95,
right?
And I don't know if you guys were around them, but Steve Sansweet was going around to Star Trek conventions, and he was, you know, doing slideshows and showing very short video clips of what was coming in the special editions. But that was all the Star Wars we had in the 90s. That was it. So people started contacting me and saying, hey, where's Steve Sansweet going to be? What's his schedule? And I had no idea. So I picked up the phone, called Lucasfilm, right? Because why not? And I said, hey, I was wondering, I have a website. Could I get Steve Sansweet's schedule? Where is he going to be with the special edition shows? They said, okay, hang on one second. I was like, oh, cool. So I'm laying on the floor in my office because, you know, I was 25 years old, just sitting there on my back, phone next to my head. And then I hear, hello, this is Steve Sansweet. And I was like, holy cow, because I was also a collector and I knew Steve Sansweet. I'm looking over across the room. Whoa. And Steve Sansweet's name's on all these books that I have. And I'm talking to Steve Sansweet. And the timing was right because there was no Star Wars website. So he starts asking me questions. Well, what does your website do? And tell me about this. And why do you have a website? So I told him I was a writer or a wannabe writer. He said, cool. I have more work than I can do. Can you send me some of your stuff? And if I can, I'll send you some work. I was like, what? Amazing. So I put stuff in a FedEx box, probably cost me $35 to overnight it to him in California. He reads it on the plane on his way to Philadelphia to do the QVC show. I don't know if you guys remember seeing Steve Sansweet on that. Some of your older listeners will remember that. Wow. He calls me, says, I read your stuff. It's great. I'm going to give you a couple things to do. And so I wrote six or seven articles for Star Wars Galaxy magazine, got to be really good friends with Steve Sansweet. I was one of the first people to see Rancho Obi-Wan before it was Rancho Obi-Wan. It was about to become that. Steve took me on a tour of Skywalker Ranch. I have to humble brag a little bit. And so that was, I was doing that, and I was mostly doing stories about super fans. And as you can imagine, back in the 90s, finding super fans wasn't like going to Twitter and Facebook and finding somebody who's got a collection. I had to go to these conventions and find people. So there was a couple brothers in I think they're in Orlando, who they built like 6-foot Star Destroyers. So I did a story about them. I did a story about a lawyer in upstate New York who hand painted miniatures and just things like that. And so when we got, so again, dark times comes, I get married, I have kids, I kind of don't stay out of Star Wars for a little bit. And the 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace starts to come out, is on the horizon. And I always, and I admit this to this day, I always had issues with Phantom Menace. I was never a big fan of it until I wrote a 123,000 word fan fiction novelization of The Phantom Menace. Just for fun. Just for fun. Look,
for fun.
For fun.
I still have this published where I can read it.
I do. Yes. It's actually on my website. You can find it there. And it was because a friend of mine and I were talking, and because I had always believed that Darth Maul was the most wasted character in all time on film. Now, never mind his Clone Wars evolution and all that. Now, to me, he's like the Joker of Star Wars. He's so phenomenal. He's one of my favorite characters. But so I looked at The Phantom Menace as sort of the film version of a great book that didn't quite get it right. You know, like we've, you know, how many Stephen King books were turned into movies that were pretty good, but not what we wanted, right? All so,
yeah. Except Pet Cemetery.
But which
I like
one?
Pet Cemetery, the movie.
But so I decided to do that. And so I did that. And then I jumped back onto Twitter. I'm like, look, I just spent literally like a year writing this book. A good friend of mine was editing it. I'm sending him chapters. And he's like, just, and I, in hindsight, look, if I'm going to write a 123,000 word book, I want to do it and get paid for it. So I got to work on that. That's next. Yeah. That's phase two of the career plan, guys. But so I wrote this. And so I was like, I'm going to hop back on Twitter. And then I started to realize, like, there's a lot of cool fans out there, right? It's the same types of people that I did interviews for back in the day, and then, or interviews with. And then I started listening to podcasts, and I was interviewed for a couple podcasts because I called them like, hey, I have this crazy 123,000 word book. They're like, you're nuts. We got to get you on the show. And so I got off one podcast, and I remember I was like, I can do this. I'm a part-time musician. I have all the equipment I need. I can do a podcast. And so it was originally just going to be about just cool, you know, either podcasters or people that I met on social media. But very quickly, I started to realize that I still had some connections through my time doing this work for Lucasfilm. And I started to be able to get guys like Anthony Bresnikan and you know, over the years, I've had like Hal Hickel, and I've had voices from some of the animated shows and authors, like all the major Star Wars authors. And it just became a thing that I just loved doing. And it just was so much fun for me to essentially, the objective of the show is to kind of capture that magic moment when two Star Wars fans meet for the first time. And those fans happen to be anybody from somebody who's got 40 followers on Twitter that I think is kind of interesting to, you know, a best-selling author or an actor. Or one of my favorite interviews was with Charlie Benante from Anthrax. And we just talked Star Wars. And how cool is it? Like, I'm a huge Anthrax fan. I'm a metal guy. What? And
Okay.
So I'm talking to Charlie Benante, not about Anthrax, not about, you know, when you released Among the Living, let's talk about it was. So tell me about the first time you saw Star Wars, and it was fantastic. So the show is that, and I've also, you know, recently we've expanded to a good friend of mine has a show called Podcast of the Wills. And what he does is he has some one-on-one conversations with, again, similar type of clientele or guest list. And they take, you know, a piece of a Star Wars story and they dig into it. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the listener or the reader or the viewer? And so those two shows kind of work well together. And honestly, it's been great for me because I was doing a show every single week. I went like 140 weeks in a row where I didn't miss a show. And so this has been great. And then we also do a Friday night show where we kind of talk about all the Star Wars news. And then we have a little 5-minute news digest that we drop on Saturday mornings where I'm very careful not to put any spin, clickbait or opinion in it. It's just, you know, there's enough Mike Zeros and others out there that just make stuff up. I want it for the people because my dad has called me and been like, hey, I read that they're recasting The Mandalorian. I'm like, oh, come on, Dad. So I want to make sure at least
rebooting the series.
Right. The sequel trilogy is being retconned. So it's just the news. It's 5 minutes in your podcast. We just pick up the weekly news because you can't keep up. I can't keep up with it. You guys probably can't keep up. It's hard to do. So, but that is the incredibly long-winded version of my my sordid tale of 45 years of Star Wars fan.
That's impressive.
That's so cool.
That is one of the coolest journeys like anyone's ever broken down for us. The TLDR version on us is we're old school fans. Like I always tell guests, like I remember sitting in my aunt's house. I remember the color of the carpet the first time I saw Return of the Jedi because my cousin put it on VHS. So yeah, I'm that old too. I just remember sitting there like, I want a laser sword. And then we went in the yard and we picked up sticks and we beat the shit out of each other. and like, that's my earliest memory. But Tim and I's journey is very similar because we grew up with it. And then there was like that pause similar to you. And ironically, we see one of two things with guests. We see that long pause or we see folks that have just gotten into it because of the sequel trilogy, which is great to me. I love that. Regardless of what your feelings on the sequel trilogy, if it's your gateway into this incredible thing that we all love, who gives a shit? We actually started with a show called Spoiler Cast, which we were going to cover like TV shows and movies and stuff like that.
That was a great idea.
Spoiler free. So we started with Mandalorian and it popped and like thousands of views, and we were like so happy and everyone was good. Then we tried to do Witcher, and Tim and I quickly realized that we have no knowledge of Witcher outside of the video games, but for Star Wars, we have read so many books, seen the movies, read the comics, that we had all this knowledge. So then Tim and I were like, what if we did a Star Wars podcast? And we were like, is there going to be enough content to cover Star Wars every week?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't know that until like episode 5. We were like, oh, shit, there's so much. This is too much. I can't keep up. So it was a great decision. But that's the beauty of Star Wars to me is that, and that's the community building, like I'm really enjoying of connecting with folks like yourself, because similar journeys, similar stories, you know, similar ways of enjoying the content. And, you know, I love your voice on Twitter. I'm not as active on Twitter as I used to be just because I'm older. I'm running our company and all that stuff. I just don't feel like dealing with people. But your voice on Twitter is one of my favorites because you have no problem calling people on bullshit. You have no problem. You have no problem being like, shut up. Like, this is not as bad as you're all making it seem. And that's what I enjoy about like your takes on stuff. And I might not even agree with all of them, but I'm like, listen to the guy. Who cares? Like, at the end of the day, it's just Star Wars. Like,
that's 100% it, right? Like, you know, I posted something the other day about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing. It was some crazy story about pooping in a bed or whatever the headline. It was like literally like, I was like, really? Does that like, is that where we're at now? Like, there's wars in the Ukraine. There's baby food shortages. There's, you know, just that. And so like people who get so upset about Star Wars, people who like, if you're not having fun with it, look, we can disagree, and I'm sure we disagree on 70 things without even trying, right? But that's all right, because we're gonna have a conversation about it, versus so many people will die on the hill for we saw it today with some of the comments about Alden Ehrenreich and with a Kathleen Kennedy said about doing that movie again. Would you do it again? And okay, so no, she wouldn't, but that's okay. Does that mean that the movie sucked? Does that mean you're wrong? Does that mean if you like the movie, you're wrong? No, none of that. We love Star Wars. Shut up. Let's have fun.
I love the Freddie Prinze Jr. rant where he's just like, Star Wars is made for kids. And, you know, sorry that it wasn't made for you, grown adult.
Yep.
It's one of like my favorite rants that I've ever heard.
My daughter is, my oldest daughter is 18. My middle son is, he'll be 8 in July. And my youngest just turned 3. And I'm enjoying, and it's not just Star Wars, it's Harry Potter, it's Marvel, it's Lord of the Rings, it's all of this cool shit that I'm sure we all love. And what I tell my oldest daughter is like, look, you're gonna go on the internet, you're gonna see people shit all over the things you love, like just enjoy it and be present and find like-minded people that you can enjoy that with, because she's a nerd, she's you know, she's my daughter. You know, we play Avengers on Xbox and stuff like that. And people are, she's like, Dad, people say Avengers sucks as a game. I'm like, are you having fun with it? Yes. Yeah, right. Okay. Who gives a shit? You know, and, she had one of her friends tell her that, Tim's going to get so mad when I say this. I didn't tell you about this, Tim. One of her friends was like, cause she's trying to beat Jedi Fallen Order. She's like 40% done. And one of her friends was like, oh, that game sucked.
And she came back, actual Kevin,
she came back to me and she's like, Dad, someone at my school said Jedi Fallen Order sucked. I was like, first of all, don't get suspended for punching them in the face. Second of all, like, who cares what they think? They probably play regular build Fortnite still and have been for the past 3 years. Like, no,
they also
cares.
Probably thought Dark Souls was a shooter. So, I mean, here we are.
But yeah, like, it's just like that thing of like, enjoy what you enjoy. And what you said about all the stuff going on in the world, like, it's the world is probably more polarizing and annoying and horrible than it's ever been. But we have things like Star Wars where we can connect as people and enjoy each other. And like you said, we disagree on 70 things. Guess how I want to disagree with you? Over a glass of scotch.
Exactly.
Bar, having a really good conversation about why you feel the way you do and why I feel the way you do. And then toasting at the end and be like, that was fun. That's how I like to disagree with people.
And, you know, if you're really, I almost said if you're a real fan, and I hate that phrase, but if you're a fan of anything, you know, I'm a Flyers fan in hockey. It's been a rough 40 years. And it's been really rough. But like, I can sit at a bar and we can talk sports. We can talk about anything. And half the fun of it is digging into what you know, bringing up some facts, having a conversation, and just like going with it. And it's, people bring in way too much baggage. And again, it's really easy to do on Twitter. Like, I can.
Oh, yeah.
So. But I could go off on that all night, so I'll be careful not to do that.
Yeah,
but
no,
I'm glad that you enjoy that though, because it is one of the things that I'm cognizant of, because, and I remember, geez, probably 2 years ago, the first time I got attacked, and I got like a whole group of people who are from particular websites that you're probably familiar with. They came at me hard. And I remember I was sitting in the living room with my phone, like almost shaking. I don't want to say shaking, but I was like, what's going to happen? And then once I realized that it's just a bunch of people who are angry
about something else that has nothing to do with Star Wars.
Correct. Right. They're not mad at that. But I do understand though, like there's so many people, especially during the last 2 years, who like go to social media for their outlet. And gosh, that's horrible. Like people, I have friends who just get so, it eats at them. And it's like, but it's just Star Wars. This should be a place you go and talk about something you love. And if it gets weird like that, then, and honestly, I hate to say it, I've said it before, some people just aren't built for Twitter, and you just kind of gotta walk away.
Sure.
Or any social media, whatever.
From my phone, because it's too toxic and polarizing at this point. Yep. I only use it for work. And that's one of the reasons I'm upset about missing Celebration this year, is not necessarily like being there for panels and reveals and stuff. It's more like you said, the bars afterwards.
Yeah.
And the hangout. That's what I feel I'm missing out on, is connecting with like-minded folks. And that's the beauty of it, because you know, Star Wars is supposed to, and all of the other stuff we mentioned, supposed to be our escape from the bullshit. And I really feel like connecting with folks like yourself, you can solidify that as like, yes, okay, like people understand that this is something we use to get away. You know, one of the hot topics that we always touch on, and I've seen you talk about it, is I mentioned my 18-year-old daughter. She wouldn't be interested in Star Wars if it wasn't for Rey. Because she finally had someone on the screen holding a lightsaber, and on the movie screen. I know there's, yes, shitters out there. I know there are female characters in Clone Wars and all that stuff. But she's only been a movie watcher up until recently, when she started watching all the animated shows. Mm-hmm. You know, and now like Luminara is like her favorite character. But, you know, because of Rey, that was really something that pulled her in.
Sure.
She's like, oh my God, this girl is she's force sensitive, and she's like... And the connection with Luke and everything, and that's what enjoyed it. So regardless of how you felt about the movies, do I think they're the best movies ever? No, I don't.
Yep.
But I enjoy the context. I enjoy the world. I enjoy, you know, what it is. We've talked about it a million times. You know, Star Wars is similar to Lord of the Rings in the sense that it's a world that's been built out on an immense scale, and you can't just judge one piece of content and then judge everything else that came into that world. Like that's what you're consuming. You're consuming the universe. You're consuming everything inside of it. You're consuming all of the stories, the people, the races, everything in it. You're not just taking this one thing and being like, well, the whole fucking thing sucks because blah, 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 blah. So I think when people think like we're talking now, where it's like, yeah, let's have that discussion over a beer and, you know, really connect on why we feel the way we do, in a very polite, happy, and joyful manner, then like everyone's going to really embrace what it is to be a Star Wars fan. And like you said, you hate saying real fan. I do too. But people, like, they get up on their high horse and it's really annoying. Yeah. And it's like, just shut up. Let people enjoy what they want to enjoy.
Yep. It's so important. And I think one of the most important things that I've learned is like, I'll say it here. I've said it on my show and I've said it before. Rise of Skywalker is number 11 out of 11 movies for me. However, I know there are people who it's number one for, and you know what? That's awesome. That's great. And I would love to have a conversation. I like having conversations with those people to be like, okay, cool. And it's not going to change my opinion, but it's not supposed to. It's to understand why we both love whatever it is, just from different angles. So,
yep.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen Multiverse of Madness, but I'm not going to like go into detail, but it was very much this either you loved or you hated it.
Yeah.
And I actually was in the middle. I was like, there's some things I liked and there's some things I didn't, but overall I enjoyed the movie. It was a Sam Raimi film and it delivered as being a Sam Raimi film. Yep. And you know, because Marvel and Star Wars, because of the Disney stuff, is so many parallels with how people feel about things.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing that up because like you just saw it play out on social media where it's like, that was the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. Oh my God, everything was perfect. And it's like, okay. And I'd rather hang out with folks like you who are just like, yeah, let's talk about it and you know, break it down. We were at PAX in Boston a few weeks ago and we were hanging out with the Meta PC guys, and one of the guys that works there was just like, we were going through the Marvel shows. I didn't like this, and it was totally fine. Totally fine when he said he didn't like it, because we discussed why. We talked about the Batman He was like, yeah, I didn't like this, but this was cool. And we broke it down like nerds. And I was like, yeah, because this aching back to this comic and da-da-da, going back and forth. Those are the conversations I live for. That is what makes the whole thing so beautiful and wonderful. And I want to see more of that. And I know it's not on social media, so I want to get out and be with people that want to have these discussions on podcasts, at events, and places like that.
For sure.
But yeah, so that was quite a journey of your story, and I really want to read that Phantom Menace thing you wrote, because Phantom Menace is my least favorite movie in all of the movies except for the last 10 minutes. So I really want to read it. Moving forward in Star Wars and looking at what we're expecting from Celebration and things like that, I would love to hear what your expectations are for Obi-Wan. Tim and I have beat this horse to death for hours.
This horse is not dead, Kevin.
Pete's expectations are for Obi-Wan, whether it's predictions, whether it's things you expect to see, whatever it is. I just want to know, like, how are you feeling overall about what we're going to experience in a little over a week?
Yeah, so it's really interesting with the, with a lot of the modern Star Wars, I'll call it, where I've heard about something coming, and again, I'm a sweaty nerd. I love this stuff. I have four podcasts about it. You know, I'm so it's my thing. But when I heard that Obi-Wan was going to be a series, when I heard Rogue One was going to be a movie, when I heard Solo was going to be a movie, when I heard Mandalorian, I was all of them. I was like, I don't know if I need that. And of course, every single one I've needed. But the Obi-Wan series has done something that honestly hasn't happened probably since The Force Awakens. And that is, it has created this incredible buzz about getting back to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, I mean, Hayden, not only is it Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor, you're also getting Bonnie Peasy, I always say her name wrong, and Joel Edgerton back to play four characters from the prequels. You're getting four people from the prequels. And so the generated excitement of kind of really, this is the first thing, even more, you know, sure, we had Luke show up in the sequels and Han and Leia, but to me, this feels like the first thing that really is pulling back deep into the Star Wars that we grew up with, whether you grew up with the sequels, the prequels, or the original trilogy. This is pulling back. And I will say, when I heard the Duel of the Fates in that first trailer, literal goosebumps. It was insane. And they're playing off that. And so I'm excited about it. It's funny you said expectations, though, because I'm really trying to be very careful, because that expectations in Star Wars, they don't mix, and which is, you know, I Last Jedi has actually become one of my favorite Star Wars stories. I won't go into the whole, you know, back and forth that goes to that. I mean, I would, but not here, not now. But I remember walking out of Last Jedi and thinking, I love that movie and I hated that movie, and I hated it because it didn't do anything I expected it to. In my head, I wrote it. I wrote what was going to happen. Yeah. Nothing had that happen. And so same thing with the last episode of Book of Boba Fett. In my mind, I knew what was going to happen, and almost none of it happened. And so I was disappointed with the first watch. The second watch, when I watched it with my 9-year-old, who was like, that was the coolest thing I ever saw. I was like, yeah, you know what? It might be the coolest thing I ever saw. So I'm trying to leave the expectations at the door, but realistically, it's, you know, I'm just excited to see what they're going to do with this story. There's so much that they could do with it.
Yeah. Expectations is one thing. I think predictions is the more fun thing. Tim and I are obsessed with theory crafting. And the thing is, and it goes back to like the fandom and stuff, like, Tim and I have no problem being wrong, and we will 100% admit when we're wrong, because we're just having fun. Like, who gives a shit if you're wrong? You know,
I'll find someone in chat.
Yeah, it's fun to just throw it out there and be like, this is what I think will happen. You know, like, we've done the over under on Cal showing up in Obi-Wan, and the more I read, the more I feel like it's going to happen, because it seems to be converging marketing pushes from a business perspective.
Oh, they need to leave his story alone. Leave it
alone.
Sorry,
Tim, I think it's going to happen.
Okay, all right. So just hold on. Pump
Explain
the brakes.
Explain to Pete why you feel that way.
Okay, so if he shows up, okay, so keep in mind, remember, timeline, Jedi Fallen Order is 5 years after episode 3, right? Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan takes place 10 years after episode 3. So that means Cal Kestis has 5 years in between the start of his game and the beginning of Obi-Wan to have this crazy adventure. What if he dies at the end?
Tim, it's a trilogy from Respawn. So keep that
I understand, but what if at the end of the trilogy...
What if this is the precursor to the next game?
No, that would be... That's 5 years after the first game. There's no way. The timeline doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but the next game's called Jedi Survivor.
Right, but what about game? What about the third game? What if he dies at the end?
You know, I mean, well, if he dies at the end, you're going to get all the people that were like, then why wasn't he in the final scene in Rise of Skywalker?
Right, but how? But do you really think they're gonna stretch his time 5 years across so that he can meet up with Obi-Wan
he's young enough to do it. He's very young in Fallen Order.
He's roughly
he's like
18
10 or 12 during the Order 66.
Yeah, and then 5 years after that, so he would be like 17.
Right, 17 so in or this, 18. He'd be in his early 20s.
I'm not saying that like an age thing would mean anything. I'm talking about like if it foreshadows the end of his story. I think because it's 5 years from the beginning to Obi-Wan. And so it's like you have 5 years to do whatever you want. But if he shows up at the end, like that to me says Kestis is okay. Cal's going to be fine. And so it's just like, it just doesn't feel right. It feels forced. I would love to see him just like organically thrown in somewhere. But just because this new game's getting announced and we've got Obi-Wan, that just feels like a really just hard stretch. Yeah. I don't like it.
He shows up in Obi-Wan. And then the game takes place after we see him in Obi-Wan. And then the third game, he dies at the end.
5 years? That's a lot of time. What have they been doing in 5 years?
The second and third game take place like bookended back to back?
It's still leading 5 years up, Kevin. That's a lot of time. It's a forced marketing ploy. I don't like it.
I haven't thought about it. However, I'm going to side with Kevin on this. I think you could see him in, and it won't be like a big role, but like he'll be.
That's what I think.
Somewhere, maybe they're. I don't know. I don't even know. But he's in there somewhere, and then Jedi Survivor takes place after the Kenobi series. During that 5 years, maybe he's been training with whatever her name was, the master that was there, and then the Dathomir sister, you know, maybe they're going to do something together. I don't know. Yeah.
There was a rumor that she's going to be playable during certain parts of Survivor.
Yeah.
So that would play into the fact.
Yeah. Maybe they were training each other.
But why the hell is he on Tatooine? He has no reason to be with
Obi-Wan.
What if
he's on the other planet? Obi-Wan's leaving Tatooine. Yeah.
He's going to, what's it called? Jiraiya?
But there's so much about the Zephos and whatnot. Why would that bring him into Obi-Wan's path? Like, that's the hard part.
What if it's something as simple, Tim, as like a holo that like,
that would be okay. I think
I still believe there's some interaction between Bail and Obi-Wan during the series. I really do. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I feel like
Cal Kestis showing up on screen in like full, you know, garb and everything just feels very much so forced. Yes, we got a BD droid.
I don't see him being this major character like Ahsoka was in Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett. I see him, like Pete said, like in passing as an Easter egg for folks that have played the games, because there's no reason to bring him to the screen and like make a big deal.
And so like if Obi-Wan mentions like the holocron that they have of all of like the new Jedi, there were the Jedis that were potential Jedis, all the younglings. Like, so if he acknowledges that I would be okay with.
Does it still exist or something
that? Something along those lines. If they make a nod to the game of like, this so-and-so or this person did that, and you're like, oh, I remember that moment from the game, that I'm cool with. It's the forced insertion into the media that just feels awkward, because like I feel like his real place to shine is in his games.
Hold on 1 second, Pete, to thank Mike Thinks Aloud for this Maker's Mark private selection from North Florida that Tim is not enjoying with me because he's not in the office today. So thank you, Mike Thinks Aloud, for the Maker's Mark. Appreciate it.
It is
continue, Pete. I'm sorry.
No. I think it's I think you know, they are promoting, you know, they're selling Cal's lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge, right? Yep. So he's a thing. And as I mentioned before, like with my dad and Ahsoka, like he could be in there and the three of us would be like, that was Cal Kestis. And 79% of Star Wars fans would be like, he just talked to some redheaded Jedi. That's like, that's it. You know,
no, I feel like there's a lot of people who really know who this guy is. Because, so like,
it's two ways to look at it. One is what Pete just said. The second is they want to introduce Cal to folks. So I look at it through this lens, Pete. Yep. I've told Tim this before. So I watch it the morning of, so Tim and I can record our reaction episode. At night, I sit down with my son and my wife and watch it. And you know, my wife is she likes Star Wars. She is not like us. So I look at everything from a Disney, you know, production perspective of and writing as like, how are they appealing to her? Because she's actually the person they want to hook, not necessarily us. We're hooked. Right. They got us. They don't need to impress us. Well, they do, but she's the one that they need to like keep coming back. And she loves Mandalorian. Book of Boba Fett, she was on, except for the Mandalorian episodes.
Right.
So she's the one that I always look at through the lens of like, how can they do it? So if there's a way to introduce Cal and either have it be a passing Easter egg where we're like the Leo meme with the cigarette and the drink, like, you know, that's him. Or if there's a way to introduce him where he's legitimately a character that she can now consume, enjoy, understand, those would be the two avenues. And I do think from a marketing perspective, it makes sense with Celebration coming up. The announcement of Survivor is coming. We all know that. And there'll be a trailer. For all we know, it's a live action trailer with Dominic Monaghan because he's been in that costume a little bit too often for me to be like, they're doing something. So I'm looking at it from a business perspective, Tim, and it really makes sense to put him in the show to sell more copies of Fallen Order and Survivor.
Timeline just doesn't make sense for me unless it really is that much time. Like, that's the only thing. They haven't confirmed how much time has gone past between game one and game two. And so it's for me, from a continuity standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, to jump from the way they ended Jedi Fallen Order with them blasting off the Merry gang with the Holocron off to go save the kiddos. We know very little about this brand new race that's been introduced with the Zephos. We got to go to Dathomir. We know what happened to the Night Sisters, and we've got all this new stuff, this brand new story. We get to see Ilum in its form of being harvested by the Empire, and it's just like the starting of all of these cool things, and then for them to just like throw him into this is just like, to me, it feels off. And so maybe I need to know more about the game for me to feel okay with him being in Obi-Wan, because right now it just feels so disjointed in storytelling. It feels like that normal Star Wars storytelling where you have to go forward to go backwards to then understand everything. So like, that's the one thing I'm worried about, is that it'll be disjointed and it just won't feel right.
What if Obi-Wan is going to Dayu to meet with either Bail Organa or someone from the Resistance or the Rebellion at this time, and like figure out, and they're like, okay, these are the Jedi that are left.
Obi-Wan would tell them to F off, and he's too old for this.
It's Quinlan Vos and it's Cal Kestis that we know of, and Cal destroyed the holocron that has all the information about the Force-sensitive younglings. What if that's what it is?
That feels really, I don't know. I think every time I think of Ben, I think of Ben Kenobi right now is this beat up Jedi who wants to be just left alone and just.
Especially
just,
after what Uncle Owen says to
him. Dude, like after all this stuff that he's gone through. Yeah, he's being just tormented by the ghost of his dead teacher who's trying to show him how to live as a ghost. And he's constantly thinking about all the younglings that his Padawan murdered. So, I mean, like, this guy has got some crazy PTSD. He wants to be left alone. I don't know, Kevin. I feel bad for Ben. I really feel bad for Obi-Wan. And I really think they're going to lean into that with his show of just, like, how messed up and tormented that he really is just sitting there in a cave all by himself. It's going to be a wild ride.
I think that's the most important thing about it being one director for six shows. It's not going to be six episodes like Mando and Boba Fett ended, right? You got a story that wrapped up a little bit and it carried on. I think this is going to be a six chapter story with one director, one cinematographer. It's going to feel like one story. So to that end, it is hard to do a side quest to go talk to Cal. So this is where I think we're going to see Cal, but I think it's going to be in passing. I think it's going to be for the three of us to do that Leo meme. Be like, I know that guy. Yeah. And then maybe in Jedi Survivor, we learn why we saw him, you know, on that hologram or whatever. So I think there's a connection coming, but not sure. I mean, I know. Are we talking spoilers for Jedi Fallen Order, or is that cool?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, you can. Game's been out for years.
Yeah, we're way past the limit on that.
That if they can capture the fear of Vader appearing like they did the first time I played so Fallen good. Order,
so good.
Holy cow!
Yeah. Tim, you beat it first, right?
Because
at the time I was streaming, and Tim is that's his career, his main career. And Tim came to my chat because he knew I was finishing it and he had beaten it. And I didn't know Vader was at the end.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I'm you know, like cracking up. Enjoy, yeah. Kevin. And I remember playing it and I just like, and I don't know if you experienced this, Pete, but like the fear that went through my body was like, oh shit. When he killed what's her face, the girl who was turning the Inquisitor, I was like,
yep.
Oh no, this is gonna be bad.
I thought I was dead. I thought I was gonna die. I was like, this is it, we're done.
Yep.
Vader's just gonna chop us up.
They captured it so well.
And kudos to Respawn and EA for making a game where you didn't fight Vader and like could hold your own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with Rebels too, where like was it season 3 where they meet Vader for the first time? And the question from Ezra to Kanan is not who was that, it's what was that? And that's like that's huge. I mean, and that's where, you know, back to Obi-Wan, we'll eventually bring it back, I'm sure. That's the thing that I think this series has an opportunity to remind us of is, yeah, I mean, Rogue One was cool with the hallway scene. Everybody talks about that scene. It was amazing. It was intense. But why do people fear this guy? And Obi-Wan hasn't seen him. So, like, this is his boy. This is his Padawan, his brother, I loved you, that thing. Is now Darth freaking Vader, right? Mm-hmm. And so if they can make that connection, and that will make anytime you see, I mean, Vader to a lot of people may look different now that they saw him at the end of Rogue One. Yeah. I'll never forget. So I have so many cool memories with Star Wars with my 9-year-old who just peeked in. You might've seen him. I actually have on video, and I have to find it. I have on video, he's watching Star Wars the very first time. He's like 3 or 4 years old. And Vader walks in and he literally stands up and he goes, oh no. So it worked then. But imagine just put yourself in Obi-Wan's shoes. Like you let this guy burn on the edge of we don't even know if he knows he's alive, mm-hmm. right? We don't even know where this is taking place in his head, but he's watched Satine die in his arms. Qui-Gon died in his arms. As far as he knows, his one responsibility in life was to take care of Anakin Skywalker. He screwed that up, and now he's this menacing demon of a Sith Lord. Holy cow.
Yeah. That's the face at the end of the trailer. The everything you're describing is that face. Everything. Yes. And that's why it's so powerful good. With the breath coming out. It's just like you can see it on Obi-Wan's face. It's just like that. Oh.
Well, I mean, Ewan McGregor even said in an interview that scene that they filmed, that was the first time he saw Hayden as Vader. And so when that setup is Vader behind him walking into the room and he has to turn and face him. And so his on camera, him turning was the first time he actually saw Hayden in full regalia. So like that's all very much so like natural, like him like experiencing it for the first time, too, which I think is really cool.
Can't wait. Can't
he
wait.
Said it was he said it was imposing like
he said it was terrifying
said it, yeah he yeah. said it was like whoa Darth Vader
and like in reading that article and framing it up, I think that made that part of the trailer more impactful for me, mm-hmm. because there was just like so much emotion in it too, which I thought was really cool. And that was there's an article that came out, Kevin, from was it IGN or no it was on Star Wars News, and it was talking about Hayden and Ewan, the work that they put into actually preparing themselves for these roles, which I thought was really, really interesting. And the one part that I really took away from that was Ewan McGregor's want to capture Sherlock Guinness and his character and his just mannerisms and stuff. And it's like, would Alec do it this way? Or like, does he sound this way? And it's just like, it's cool that he's paying homage to that actor in such a way that is so interesting.
He met with Sir Alec Guinness before he filmed the prequels to get the vibe. And we all know, like, there's two famous people who don't like Star Wars that have been Sir Alec Guinness and Harrison Ford. Right. But he met with him, you know, much like Jack Nicholson met with all the people that played the Joker after him. that was more of a warning. But, you know, he met with him to get exactly what you're saying, because he wanted to make sure that the role was, and I, you know, aching back to what Kathleen Kennedy said about not casting someone else. I disagree. I think Alden Iron, I can never pronounce his last name, that guy. I think he did a really good job. The best job that anyone could possibly do of being Han Solo and not being Harrison Ford, in my opinion.
Completely.
And I feel like Ewan McGregor's taking that step further. Like I don't feel like there's this chasm and this gap between the two of them. No. I feel like the aging, I know that, Tim, we always joke about, you're always like, but there was only this amount of time between.
Oh no. But so my community has been giving me crap about that lately. And someone posted something that was really crazy. It was a truck driver, and one side of his face, the side of his face that was closest to the window, aged way more than the other side that was inside the cabin that didn't have as much direct sunlight. And it was wild. And they're like, well, think about two suns now that he's always in direct, you know, contact with all this radiation. And I was like, God damn it. They were right. Tatooine does age you more. It does physically age you more. Because of the two sons, because of all this. And I was like, son of a bitch, they did it.
Plus the mental anguish, right? I mean, it's like when they show pictures of a president when he takes office and he leaves. So this guy has literally gone through just the worst, right? I mean, he's been through, I mean, through everything. And that weighs on him. I've said this before on my show, and I think it's an interesting thing to me. Alec Guinness actually gave the best accidental performance ever when Luke first says the word Obi-Wan, right? When you watch that now, and now I think after we watch the Obi-Wan series, just the way he responds, the look on his face, the way he kind of settles back, is he knows that the time is now. Whatever he's been working toward his whole life, it's about to kick in, because this little kid, now a teenager, knows about Obi-Wan. So here we go. And he also probably knows he's going to die, right? Yeah. He probably knows he's going to have to make that sacrifice that hopefully Qui-Gon's been teaching him about.
Yeah.
And this is it. You got to settle in. So if you watch that scene again now, before you watch Kenobi, and then again, I think after you watch Kenobi, you're going to be like, wow, that was amazing. Yeah. Now, of course, they had no idea they were going to do it. It's just because Guinness was an amazing actor, but just beautiful, beautiful stuff.
And then it also goes to Lucas in his writing for the first movie. And like the things that he set up, like the Clone Wars, like I'm sure at that point he like came up with something that sounded really cool, but like being able to take from like all of these little things. And even like, I love the fan film mashup of that line when he's like, when he talks about Anakin and he talks about, this is your father's lightsaber and all those things. And it's just like, man, when Lucas first filmed this, he didn't know, but he left it so open that he could do that. And as much crap as I give George Lucas for the prequels, like I still think that like going back and watching them, they still hold up. And that's the crazy thing, is a movie that came out in the late 70s and early 80s, they hold up still in storytelling, because it's like even like the practical effects and all those things, like, yeah, they look cheesy, but it's still, it fits. It's Star Wars. And so like, that's the one thing that I absolutely love. And you're right. Like when he sits back in Obi-Wan, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. And it's like, man, you're right. Or even like when he meets Vader again on the Death Star, and he's like, you know, last time I was but the learner. And like, I'm so intrigued, because that's always a, this big loop, the loophole that's never made sense is, you know, the ending of 3 and the beginning, or the end of 4, it just doesn't make sense. And so now we're going to have that closure, and I'm super excited.
I think that's what Filoni and a lot of the folks that are involved now, like Favreau and Taika Waititi, I think they pay attention to that, and they never want to spoil what we've experienced in our lifetime. Because like you said, Pete, you've been watching since you were a kid. I think the first time I saw Return of the Jedi, I was 7 or 8. You know, I had the wonderful experience that my two older children did not have Darth Vader being Luke's father spoiled for them. So I got to sit there and watch them experience that. But I think they preserve those moments for us, and then it's an additive in shows like Obi-Wan. Like they're gonna be able to explain away exactly what you just said, Tim, about the, you know, you were but the learner and, you know, teacher line.
Now I'm the master.
Flawlessly. Yeah. I guarantee you, no problem. We're not gonna have any issues. Now I guarantee you Twitter will have issues, but that's a whole other conversation that we're not gonna
have. Sure, yeah, we'll deal with them later.
But I guarantee you they'll be able to explain it away no problem, because they pay such attention to detail. Like some of the stuff we've seen in the gallery episodes and whatnot is like, holy shit, how did you even think of that?
Sure.
It's just wild. And that's what you have when you have a passion project, where you have people that love the IP as much as you do, making the content, like Taika, like John Favreau, like Bryce Dallas Howard. They care, and they want to make sure that, you know, folks like us aren't going to get, you know, upset, or that they don't create any unnecessary loopholes. And I think that's why Clone Wars, the animated series, is so good, is because it tied two and three together beautifully. And it gave us this new perspective of Anakin that I think we're going to actually see more of in Obi-Wan. Sure. And it, the thing I love about Clone Wars and what's leading into Obi-Wan is their relationship is solidified so well through that, all of those seasons. Yep. And that's what's going to hurt even more when he shows up and he tries to kill Obi-Wan in that scene, even though, you know, he survives, you know, you're still going to be like, oh, this sucks.
But it's the same I know thing. I was saying before I don't read a lot of books, but read Brotherhood by Mike Chan.
Yes, it's on my list. It's on my list. And you actually brought up the Ahsoka on Malachor fight from Rebels, and there's that moment where he's Anakin again. That's one of my favorite moments in all of Star Wars.
Oh yes,
when the mask gets flashed, and there's that one iota of a second where you can tell he's looking at Ahsoka, and I almost want him to say Snips.
As much as I hate the word Snip, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, no, but you could tell in that moment, like, he's Anakin just for a second again. And that's what makes it hurt even more when he like lunges at her right after that. Cause you know she's in like tormented pain and like can't handle what's happening to her right now. From the Ahsoka book, especially, because she talks about, you know, how it's just ripping her up inside what's happened. And I'm sure we'll learn more on her show, but you know, that's what's going to make that moment impactful, is all of this world building they've done around that one line from A New Hope, that one line that spurned all of this that we've experienced over the past. How old is Clone Wars at this point? 15 years old?
I think so.
It's long. Yeah.
I remember when it was weird? Cartoon Network back in the day, before Disney got a hold of it. I am excited. I think Obi-Wan, for me, I haven't seen a Star Wars live action show. Like, Boba Fett had its moments where I was like, yeah, whatever. But overall, I enjoyed Boba Fett. Sure. Mandalorian's just incredible. It's just such a good show. Acolyte's the one Tim and I are really looking forward to. Pete, Celebration. Again, this is another horse Tim and I have beat to death. What are you hoping for? What are you looking at? Like, what interests you from the announcement side of Celebration?
You know, I think that first day panel, is a friend of mine, Scotty, on a show called The Bombad Cast, he made an interesting point that it's titled the Lucasfilm panel, right? He is predicting, and I'm going to seal his prediction here, that we're going to get some Indiana Jones mention or reveal at Celebration,
which would be amazing. So cool.
I'm not going to get my hopes up for that, but I do think we're going to, I think actually, interestingly, after this Vanity Fair article, I think movies are still pretty far off. I think we'll probably get some news on Taika's movie. Interestingly, Kathleen said in the article in Vanity Fair that Feige's movie is not being done yet, but yet Michael Waldron just said the other day that he just started writing it. So, you know, a lot happens in a couple months. But so I think we're going to get more teases like we got at the shareholders meeting in 2020, I guess it was. But I'm really looking forward to, you know, interestingly, like, I think I'm more excited to just meet fans and hang out with people who, you know, meet people like you who actually have listened to my show. And it's like really cool that you like it, and talk to people who I know on Twitter who I've never met before, but have become friends, and be immersed in an environment where you could just be a nerd for four straight days and just leave all the pretense at the door and just be yourself and just enjoy every second of it. And so I'm excited about that. And I think announcement wise, I think we're probably going to get more information on there's got to be another
Star Wars animated show coming. I think that Jedi Tales thing that leaked a couple months ago, I think that's going to be an animated show, and I think we'll probably get an announcement on that. And I also think that we're going to get at the Mandoverse panel on Saturday, I think we're going to get official confirmation of who's playing Ezra, who's, you know, can't think of her name. Is she actually playing Sabine? Because we haven't gotten that verified, but we've gotten it pretty close to verified. And I think the big announcement is going to be Thrawn. I think they're going to bring Thrawn out and announce who that's going to be. And I think that's going to be wild.
Not ours. I will lose it.
Which I'm a little upset about, but
I know. I'm very bummed about that one. But
yeah, but I'm sure whoever, like, if they march someone out there, you know, we'll be skeptical, and then they'll show up as Thrawn in live action. Like, all right, fine.
It's like Heath Ledger's Joker. I always go back to that. When I heard about that, I was like, that is the worst thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, holy cow, best thing ever.
Literally killed him because he did it so well. You know, and that's a perfect example. So yeah, I think Vision season 2 will be announced, which I'm excited about, because like we were talking before about Ronin.
Yep.
And just like that playground to do whatever you want with no parameters is fun as hell. And I want to see more of that. And I would love to see seasons of show. You know, Marvel has the multiverse. Why not do more in Star Wars where it's like, this isn't canon, we're just having fun. And do more of that. So I think that Bad Batch season 2 will definitely get more information on, which Tim and I are very convinced that's going to get really deep into the cloning stuff. And understanding more about what Palpatine and the Empire was planning with cloning. So that'll be cool. Obviously, Jedi Fallen Order. I think we're going to get a little bit more on Old Republic remake. It's my favorite game of all time.
I can't wait for that. Yeah.
I'm not going to start that conversation now because we're hitting time.
No, we won't end, Kevin.
That is my favorite. I will sit here, Pete, and I will defend that given the time it came out, the storytelling they did, and the plot twist, it is the greatest video game of all time. Forget about Star Wars. It is the greatest video game of all time. Aside from Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, it's the only game that's above it.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
So, see, Pete's ready to have a conversation with me over a drink.
I'm holding back.
Another episode, gentlemen. Oh. Another episode.
Or we just go to a bar at some event with Pete and just have a conversation.
I'll be there. Name the bar. I'll be there.
I think we'll get that. And then obviously we'll get date for Mando season 3. And I think a lot of shows have been announced, like Ahsoka, Acolyte. We'll get more information on those. I have a feeling there's a movie. I don't know if it's trilogy, something. Just shit we don't know about.
Yep.
That will be revealed as well. And get that. I hope we get more information on Rogue Squadron. I know it's been delayed, but I'm kind of excited for that movie personally.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll
Top
see
Gun Star Wars, yes. Please.
How great would that be?
Top Gun's getting like 10 out of 10 ratings everywhere. So
people love dogfighting. So this is gonna do just fine.
I have a feeling Tom Cruise probably dies at the end, and it's like the swan song to one of the greatest movies of all time. So yeah, let's follow up with an awesome movie.
It is gracious. Great balls of fire, Kevin.
Yes. Yeah. As long as there's a volleyball scene, I'm good. But yeah, no. So Pete, I honestly hope you have a fantastic time and connect with so many people. And I hope that you and I can connect at Celebration next year with the Tim you're invited to. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you. <It's> so weird. I'm going to hang out with Around the Galaxy. You can stay here. Okay.
Tim, you're going though, right?
I was going to go, but only if Kevin... I've gone to Star Wars Celebration like 3 times already.
Okay.
And so for me, it was going to be fun to see Kevin go and make content with him. Yeah. For me, I'm not going to drag my wife, and I just don't want to go by myself. So
yeah,
I don't Kevin mind. Was the reason I was going to go. And unfortunately, you know, we'll
I'm assuming they'll announce the dates at the end of this one for next year.
Too. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they do the same thing.
But Anaheim is so much fun. That
we're gonna go, and Pete, we're gonna go heavy on inviting people to our event, and it's in the first weekend of August in 2023.
Cool.
So yeah, we're gonna go heavy in inviting Star Wars people because we want we actually came close to having the folks at EA bring SWTOR and setting up a cantina with cosplay and all that stuff, but they backed out because.
But slackers.
But actually, this isn't in our show notes. Tim, did you see that SWTOR 2 is a huge rumor right now for Celebration?
What?
Really? I haven't seen that either.
All of a sudden, EA's been talking about SWTOR like, hey, yeah, play the game, da-da-da-da-da. And then I think it was Monday or Sunday sometime, someone said heavy leak and all of this information about how they'll be announcing SWTOR 2 at Celebration. And apparently on the BioWare site, they're hiring for next Mass Effect series, Dragon Age, and for SWTOR, which is really weird. It says Star Wars The Old Republic, because there would be no reason for them to start hiring all these positions unless they were making a new game.
Oh, man.
That is so interesting that they wouldn't.
That's ambitious as hell to make an MMO in 2022. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, a live service game up against WoW just doing terribly against all these other games that are just live service that are just tanking. That's really ambitious. But to your point, Kevin, Knights or Star Wars Online or The Old Republic is like the only like online game that's been doing well for a long period of time.
They
correct?
Maintain at their worst, they have like 250K to like 400,000 players at a time. And all of a sudden, and every time Mandalorian comes out, a new movie comes out, a new show comes out, all of a sudden their player base spikes up to like 1 million because everyone's like, I need my fix, including me. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it was a cool rumor. And I'm a huge Star Wars The Old Republic person. I'm so passionate that because the last boss was bugged in the expansion, I like rage quit and I was like, I'm not playing this game ever again. And now I keep going on their website like, did you patch it yet?
Did you patch it yet? Did they fix
it? I just want to beat Malgus.
Checking the forums. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. But, Pete, please tell everyone where they can find you. Like, go through the list, your shows, your podcasts, when they release. Like, no rush. Let people know, because this has been a great conversation. I'm sure people are going to want to hop over and check you out.
I've had a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys reaching out and contacting me. This has been so much fun. I love, you know, I do have a lot of Star Wars conversations, but this one was a blast. So thank you so much. You can find me on all your social media channels at ATGcast. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on the YouTubes. I actually have a TikTok. I don't know what I'm doing with it. I might give it to my 12-year-old daughter to try to do something with it. Instagram, all that stuff. You can find me there. And that's where Twitter is, as Kevin was referencing before, that's where I'm trying to stay out of trouble, but usually doing that by getting into trouble. You can visit our website at atgcast.com to find our shows. We have 4 shows. We drop 3 a week. On Thursdays, you either get Around the Galaxy, which is my show, which is the one-on-one interviews with the people behind the fandom, or you'll get Podcast of the Wills, which is Nick Milkey, my co-host, and he does those sort of deep dives into what the canon means to the guest, which is a really unique approach and really a lot of fun. On Fridays, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ATGcast, we do a live show called Streaming Star Wars. And we cover the news of the week. And usually, if there's a show on Disney Plus, that dominates the conversation, as it should. Sometimes we have guests, but we kind of call it a sports talk radio of Star Wars, right? We kind of approach it that way. And then on Saturdays, you get Disturbances in the Force in your podcast stream, which is just a 5-minute Star Wars news show where we just sort of recap the highlights. We don't give an opinion on it. We just sort of tell you what's going on out there. And we put the links in the notes so people can go find the sources themselves. But that's my Star Wars internet presence.
We'll put all those links in the show notes. We're going to Paul's going to get the link from your fan fiction, Phantom Menace novel, specifically for
Kevin,
me. But yeah,
Kevin's going to read this cover to cover. There's no doubt in my mind.
I want to hear what you have to say about it.
I'm going to be at the gym like.
Okay. All right. So I just have to just throw that there. Kevin, in the middle of reps, we're like, Tim, this book's really good. I'm like, what are you doing right now?
How are you reading? And
yeah, how are you listening to a book and focusing on your reps? He's like, I can't believe Thrawn just did that. What?
Tim and I go to the gym at 5 a.m. because it's literally the only time we can make it. So like he can't listen to audiobooks. To me, it's like one of the only times I can get like a solid hour of hour and a half of like an audiobook in.
Right.
And like, yeah, I'll be doing reps and I'll be like, dude, I didn't know that.
And I'm over here trying to like count. I'm like, 5.
He's like, how the hell are you?
One, like, yeah. 2.
That like, was just wild. And he's like, what rep are you on? I'm like, 14, 15. Yeah, that was crazy. So yeah, that's our thing with Thrawn. I'm almost done. I should be finishing Thrawn this week, Tim. So if you want to go over it next week, week we'll be a little busy.
We'll figure it out, Kevin.
I should, by the time we're through the Obi-Wan celebration stuff, I should be done with the second Thrawn book. So
the second one's good. The second one's really, really good.
You keep saying they're all good. So like
the second one's good.
It's also Zahn. So like, yeah, he's good. I remember him from the old Thrawn.
What's so cool, just real quick, before we end the show, What's so cool about Thrawn and Ascendancy is that Ascendancy is just beautifully written so that it just dumps you right off into book one, and it all just makes perfect sense. It's one of those, like, they had to tell what happens before, and then they went back and told you what happened, and then now it all makes sense. It's just,
have you done the audiobooks for Thrawn?
Yeah, I prefer them. And in fact, one of my favorite things was, I was at New York Comic Con. It was the last con I was at before pandemic. So I New York Comic Con in 19, and now Celebration coming up next week. And I went to the book panel. Again, not really a big book guy, but it was one of the bigger Star Wars panels. And there's this guy with a beard, and they invite him up. I'm like, who the hell is that? And they're like, it's Mark Thompson. I was like, holy cow. He reads the intro, or, you know, a page or two of, I guess it was Ascendancy. In Thrawn's voice, and I was like, my God, that was so amazing. Because he is Thrawn to me. And then when I had him on the show, I made him, if you listen to Around the Galaxy, you'll hear him say at the beginning, you're listening to Around the Galaxy as Thrawn, because that is it.
Told you we should do that to him, Tim, and you were like, no, don't do that. It's going to forget.
Now I'm going to ask him. I thought he would. I didn't think about it. We could ask him now.
I'm going to ask him at GCX to do it.
I mean, now we know. Yeah, most definitely.
Because we had him on, and Tim was like trying to get him to do Thrawn, and I didn't want to like push him to do too many voices, so he did Yoda, because I was like, do your favorite. His favorite's Yoda. And now I'm listening to Thrawn books. I'm like, shit, this is why Tim wanted him to do Thrawn.
Because, like, his voice is perfect for, like, when I watched Rebels before I read the Thrawn books, and he just matches the voice perfectly. And so it's just like, it's just Thrawn. And
you
so
have to listen to the Mark Thompson episode, or you can listen to my best of episode. I did sort of a behind the actor studio, or inside the actor studio. I mm-hmm. asked him a question. I was like, so Mr. Solo, tell me about blah, blah, blah. And he goes into Solo. And then I was like, all right, 3PO, tell me about whatever. Dude. And he does a little
Tim, 3PO. We got to have Mark back on.
I'll write the show notes.
GCX.
That's so awesome. I love that.
No, that's perfect. And that's the perfect way to do that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, once I heard him as Thrawn, I was like, damn it. We screwed this one.
That's
up.
Fantastic.
Like the organ music. And he's like,
and it's Lieutenant Vonto. And
it's so good. But we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna let Pete go. Thank you so much for listening to episode 83 of Star Wars and Scotch. Make sure you follow Pete at ATG Cast on all platforms. Hang out on Friday nights over on YouTube, and make sure you're following on the network and catching up with all the podcasts of the Wills and Around the Galaxy. You can follow Tim at darkness429 all over the internet. Make sure you're heading over to his Facebook streams. He's been playing it. Okay, Tim, I got to level with you 1 second. You forced me to download Blood Hunt because I've been having so much fun with Fortnite no build.
Yeah.
Zero build.
Okay.
Hate admitting that out loud, but I am. that I'm like, oh, this is like the edgy Tim, you know, haunted house version of Fortnite. Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. We played Uncharted. You know, we went through the entire Uncharted playthroughth. So that was.
No, I want to concentrate on Blood Hunt.
Okay.
Focus. No, I actually had a blast with you ending Uncharted today, because I knew how awesome that ending was, and I was like, Tim's gonna have so much fun.
It was so good. It was perfect.
So yeah, it was a good time hanging out. So make sure you head over to fb.gg/darkness429 Monday through Friday around 9 a.m. Eastern, except next Friday, because Tim's gonna be busy recording an episode with me about Obi-Wan, so he will be a little bit late next Friday, because we have to watch 2 episodes after going to the gym. So yeah, we won't be busy next week. Pete, and I'm sure you'll be covering Obi-Wan on your YouTube show on Friday night next week. As well.
Yes,
actually,
you'll
be at Celebration, so we'll be covering it.
Yeah, but we'll be covering all the stuff happening at Celebration for that week.
Fantastic. Okay,
so go head over to atgcast.com to cover to check out your Celebration coverage. Okay, perfect. Yep. So do that. And me, just go to raredrop.co. Everything I do is over there now. If you want to argue with me on Twitter, you can do Kevin Exvision. I probably won't answer you, though. But yeah, you can go listen to old episodes of Star Wars and Scotch. Like I always say, like, check out all the other shows on our network. We got comics. They just had a great interview this week Broman show as well. I think Rukari was his latest guest.
Rukari was hanging out with Ben.
Yeah, one of the hosts of GCX this year. Works for GameStop. Has worked for Xbox in the past. The protege of Major Nelson. He hates when I say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. Go check that out. And all of the other cool shows we have, Coffee and Chill and whatnot. But yeah, raredrop.co, Star Wars and Scotch. You can tweet us if you want at Star Wars Scotch, at Star Wars Scotch. Check out anything we talked about on this episode. And again, ATG Cast if you want to argue with Pete on.
He really just he really loves that you are just so aggressive on Twitter.
No, because Pete says I'm passive aggressive, and I don't have to say it. So that's why I enjoy his Twitter, because I don't have to be in the crosshairs. He puts himself in there. You have a great week. Thank you so much. And we'll see you for episode 84 next Friday for Obi-Wan, the first two episodes. And Tim, it's your turn.
May the Force be with you.